Welcome to Hallway Conversations, Directions Media's interview series with geospatial insiders and outsiders. This is Adina Schutzberg, executive editor. Are you one of those people who's trying to make sense of the cloud and what it has to offer you? Spatial Cloud is one of the players that wants to help you out. Spatial Cloud is a new way of viewing, creating, and distributing maps. The project includes an independent open source 3D viewer and flexible commercial web services to handle enterprise class processing, storage, archival, and distribution of mapping data. I spoke to two of the staff about that flexible commercial web services offering, now in beta.
I am joined in the virtual hallway today by Mark Corver, the CTO of Spatial Cloud, and Joshua McNary, the marketing manager at Spatial Cloud. Welcome, gentlemen.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks for having us.
You guys sort of burst on the scene, at least to me, in the last week or two with sort of your first announcement about the availability of data in your cloud offering, Spatial Cloud.
Spatial Cloud, we've been working over the last 2 years or so to get a cloud offering based on the Amazon cloud infrastructure, Amazon Web Services cloud infrastructure. Mark here has been the man in the trenches making that happen, but I had the honor of getting the ball rolling and letting people know a little bit more about what we've been doing.
And maybe Mark, this is a good question for you. What problem is it that you're trying to solve with the offer?
Well, I was just thinking that when you said we burst on the scene, it may look like that, but I was thinking it sure doesn't feel like that because we've been going at it for some time. We're trying to solve a number of problems, of course, but one of them is just, you know, there's a lot of data out there. There's commercial data and there's free data. But if you, for example, you know, consider the free data out there, for example, in numerous WMS type sources that are available. Web mapping service, it's a spec for getting images, web services. And there's a number of them out there. You know, some of them are run by the state government or federal government, and those are great. And you can get access to much, much more data than we ever did before. There are really not a lot of options if you're talking about, okay, I need to build an enterprise class application that needs to run 24/7. And I need to have this thing going all the time, and I need to be able to scale my application easily. Preferably, I'd like to write a service level agreement with some kind of data service provider and let them handle all of that. And we're still kind of in the infancy of that. And so there's a lot of data out there, but from the perspective of a project manager that's architecting something like this, there are not a lot of options for stable, high availability type sources of data, at least at this time. I'm sure that'll change, but being out there now, we think at least we're one of the first ones that can actually do that.
And doing that in a way that would be cost-effective for those project managers and those enterprise class applications that we're speaking about. Right now, there are some data providers out there that some of the big boys out there that can do this type of streaming or access to great imagery stores, but we're looking to really leverage the available data sources that are out there and then publish them in a way that our users will be able to trust.
Let's get into the dicey technical parts and start with how much data would you need to have access to with this kind of service level agreement to sort of make it cost effective. If you only had a gig or two, you can put that on a hard drive, and that may be plenty for most people. What kind of sizes are we talking?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. When we roll out our first product, we're planning to do that in June. Right now, we just have a beta product online, but we'll be rolling out the NAEP data product, which is a 1 meter class aerial images, which would be seamlessly mosaiced from the, you know, the east to west coast.
Right, and that's the National Agricultural Imagery Program.
Yeah, yes. Anybody can go and download this data from government site, or you can buy it for about $50 a county kind of thing. And so everybody has access to this data. But, for example, if you needed to roll out even one county, and you need to make this available even to your land population, let's say, in some kind of corporate environment, you still have to make investments in some kind of hardware. And the image data itself is, of course, a lot heavier than most of the other stuff you're going to be making available on the land in the first place. So it tends to require a significant investment. And we see all of that really being flipped over right now by the availability, in a generic sense, of cloud-based services. So a lot of people in the non-kind of geo-web sense are already putting image resources on places like Amazon or Google to kind of offload that kind of heavy work that traditionally, you know, their web servers would be doing in some kind of facility. And we're in a sense just an extension of that. The economics of doing that, at least in our minds, is very clear. We've been doing this for, a year and a half, a real high volume with a lot of data. And so, of course, we're dealing with terabytes of data, but I would suspect that if you really sat down and did your spreadsheet, it's probably not a lot of data to make this worthwhile. I don't know what the exact number is, but I suspect that if you're doing anything that requires having to worry about some server taking on extra load because you're doing image data, for example, then you're probably better off just outsourcing that part to the cloud.
And in fact, it might be that service like ours in the cloud would allow you to go deploy imagery in a way that you couldn't otherwise do, maybe because you didn't have resources. Mm-hmm. You had a small data store, and you maybe didn't want to put the time and effort into making that available in your geo application because you maybe are more vector-based. Our application is a way that you could get that data in there with a relatively small amount of work. And the cloud is what really empowers all of us to do this, including ourselves, to be able to produce a product like this. Whereas, even just 5 years ago, doing something like this in-house with our own server racks would have been not necessarily something we would have wanted to do.
Okay, well, here's a... Maybe this seems like a fine point, but I think this is something that's a little bit confusing to people who are still getting their brains around the whole cloud idea. So it sounds like if I really wanted to, I could go out and buy all this NAEP data, and I could set up an account with Amazon Web Services, and I could put it all up there. Or I could come to you guys, and, well, you already have the NAEP data, but let's say it was another data set. I could bring that over and make a deal with you and have you host it. What would be the difference between those two experiences?
Well, I think the obvious one is if you roll your own, and for example, let's say you're doing a national NAEP data set, and with that, you're already talking millions of, so it's millions of tiles. So many tiles that you need have special strategies to even count them, right? So technically, it's not easy to do, and it's a large amount of data. So, for example, if you're just serving it up yourself, the economics are bad because you've got a lot of data and you've got 10 people looking at it. So, because of the nature of the data, it's the kind of data that kind of necessitates many people looking at it. Otherwise, the economics are just bad.
I guess what I'm trying to get at is, if I was going to roll my own on Amazon versus hooking up with you guys, how would that be different in terms of what goes out of my pocketbook and what I have to do?
So it comes right out of your pocketbook. So the economics are bad. It doesn't make sense. If somebody else is doing it, they're probably selling it to multiple people like you, right? So the cost goes down, right? Because you're essentially group buying this thing. It's all the same thing. It's the same NAEP data set. So it makes sense for the community, everybody to be looking at the same NAEP data set. And then there's other features that we provide, such as I really need to kind of fill in the blanks of what are the other things that make us different. One of the really large ones is that our billing model is based on Amazon, S3's billing model, and actually other parts of Amazon as well, which is you pay as you go. So you pay, for example, 10 cents for so many hits on their messaging system. And our billing model is just sitting on top of that. So, for example, if you're a developer and you have an account on our system and you alone are looking at this thing to do development on it, you probably won't even notice your bill for your access to this product. And when you work on this thing, especially with our spatial branded content, which we will be making available using the Creative Commons licensing pattern, you'll be able to work on what we call a map stream. So we provide secure access to the same data set that we hope a lot of people will be looking at, and you'll be able to log track how much, for example, a specific project that you're working on access that particular map stream. So you get a log over time because you want to know how much you can get billed for a certain project. So we provide those kinds of services on top of what Amazon provides. Of course, leveraging what Amazon is doing in the background for us anyway. For example, let's say you're in a development phase, and then at some point you need to release that product to some internal work group or some public website. The way we have it configured, you don't need to point at another set of servers that are built for high availability to do that kind of thing. You point at the exact same source that you've been using as a developer, and because we built this thing on top of Amazon's cloud-based infrastructure, we have immense scalability. Now, that just kind of points to the fact that as a small company doing a startup like this, we just couldn't have done this even just a couple of years ago. We can do this because we're leveraging certain aspects of the cloud that's available to us now. So I was just being asked a couple nights ago, Mark, can you provide some facility to me as we were talking about API access to our system, and he's saying, I'd like to know whether or not you can print this. And I had to tell him, we haven't really thought about this, because as far as we're concerned, the stuff that we're doing under our brand, you can do anything you want with it. So we don't need to have that, as some kind of discoverable on our web service, because we don't really care, and we don't plan to even compete in that way anymore.
So how is it that actually is a nice segue into my next question, which is, what is it that a developer is going to be writing against to tap into this stream of data named data set that we're talking about?
Our system is very simple. Our first product is essentially what has been now up to now been called the TMS structure, which is just a pyramid of tiles. So it facilitates slippy maps, a lot of tiles showing up as you zoom in. And as far as tapping in, the examples on our website is we're just using OpenLayers, and then we have a simple extension to OpenLayers, .tms, a layer definition, that does one thing, which is takes care of a security-related API that allows you access to your specific map stream on our system. And that's it. So if you're for example, an OpenLayers type developer, it'd take you 5 minutes to figure it out.
Right, but could actually use whatever development environment you're excited about.
Yes, and we plan to release more source code examples of how to do that using different, for example, Flash-based clients, et cetera.
And we've tried throughout the project to think about the developer or the other geospatial user who might want to get access to our data sets, to make it as easy as possible. Really, it's a matter of signing up for an account with us. You actually subscribe to our services once you're into our system using Amazon credentials. So we're actually also leveraging Amazon's billing mechanism to actually handle all of the transactions, so you can know that it's a secure and robust payment vehicle. Once you do that, then as Mark had mentioned, it's simply taking our sample code and implementing it inside your system. We've already had some developers do that with some success.
Okay, and the first data set that developers are going to be able to use, and I guess could use now within this beta time frame, is that NAEP data set. And then I guess you have some plans to add more data sets?
If you look at it globally, there's a lot of other data sets out there, not all of which have the same kind of simple licensing model that the NAEP data set does. But we plan to go and acquire those, basically do the same kind of processing, make them available under our brand name. And in some cases, they might have different license models just out of necessity. So you might have to go and take care of that with, for example, your national government or something first in order to get legal access to use that. But, the pattern is the same. There's a lot of data out there that's publicly available, but because it's, it's large, cumbersome, it's hard to handle. If you're an application developer, you probably don't want to do that.
Are you asking the developer community sort of to tell you what kind of data sets it wants? If somebody came to you and said, I have a data set, my city makes the data available, public domain, will you host it?
Yes, most definitely. And then we won't be doing that in our initial release, but our model incorporates essentially, you come to our site, you register, and initially you'll see what we call these publicly available data sets, and the first one will be the NAEP one on our site. But then the second phase, you'll be able to either upload data or send us a hard disk, and we will put that essentially under your control. And then you have the options of either using that just in a private context in a secure way, and then you pay for it on your account. And if you want, we'll have a facility where you can make that public across our customer group, and so the other people on our system could then see it and then make their own connections to your data. But of course, that's all optional.
Right, and I guess depending on how you work it, then you as the provider of that data, if it wasn't public domain data, for example, you could get a fee for that.
We will be operating fundamentally as just an infrastructure provider. So I don't see us being a marketplace. I see the marketplace being a layer kind of on top of us in different places, maybe in many, many different places. I don't think that's the role. And I think it makes more sense for us to be just the infrastructure provider. We hustle to provide you the best price to do this kind of thing, right? And we're not going to compete with you. So any data set we provide under the Spatial Cloud brand name will be those kinds of data sets that are publicly available. They're not these, I took them yesterday with my own plane type data set, and it's a 3-inch class image of Chicago or something. Those we hope to have at least initially in private buckets under our customer accounts, and they can do their own thing with them.
I got you. So this really is that IaaS, infrastructure as a service.
Yes, exactly. And I think, doing that, if we can do that and start talking about global coverage, that's probably, more than enough for us, because there's a lot of data out there. And then, realistically, that's probably the only way you can compete with the other large services that are out there.
Now, this is a question for Joshua, because I think you're probably tuned into this within your role in the company. How well are people understanding what's possible with the cloud and geospatial?
Well, that is a good question. I think generally folks are beginning to grasp the ability of it. The cloud is such a new concept, really, in any vertical market, that it's taking some time for people to catch on, especially folks that are used to the traditional, I have this machine sitting in my office doing whatever. And as we've been doing some pre-marketing, and then as we've rolled out here with our first beta release, it's clear that additional education is needed as to what the power of these services really can be, and things like the pay-as-you-go models and the scalability, explaining that. And you can see that in really a lot of the other software and data providers that were out there in the geospatial space. We're all doing this right now, trying to help people understand it. We've, here at Spatial Cloud, we've put about 2 years worth of thought and pondering into how we can go about this, and really trying to think far out from now, and maybe help people bridge those gaps to where we are now and where we're going to be.
I guess the other question I have too is, how well positioned are developers to select between an API kind of model, like a Bing API or a Google Maps API, for example, and your model, which isn't really, there's a sort of a data API, but then you build your application within the framework of open layers or whatever it happens to be?
I would say that it's really very similar in the sense that our base service, the imagery, is what they're trying to get at with regards to these other art services. And there may be some additional layers that allow them to do some special things, but for the large part, it's very similar. The base service is that imagery. That's what they need and want inside their applications. And one thing that's really beneficial to what we're doing is that since it is a very raw infrastructure-based emphasis that we're going for, gives the freedom to that developer to really use it in maybe some ways that, because of licensing or just technology-wise, they may not be able to in other ways. So we think it might grow that space and give those who are already doing something that, in that area more flexibility.
I think it's quite complex. It used to be when, you know, when I was in, probably more involved in putting together web applications that incorporated some kind of mapping. It was all this kind of roll your own. It was a, you know, at best an AJAX application, and there weren't really any APIs. You just did it all your own. It was all custom. Now, if you're doing it, there's a big decision point about, well, okay, what provider do I go to? You know, there's a number of very interesting companies out there. For example, CloudMade, and there's like a recent one that comes out of, you know, I've never heard before, called GIS Cloud, and they all have different APIs, and they can all do very, very interesting things. So in a sense, the writing is on the wall. I see the future being all API. But there's a bunch of competing players now, and there always will be. So making the decision as to, you know, which one to go to is the same as usual. You're making an investment in learning that API and, you know, committing a bunch of resources to it. And it's a non-trivial task to do that. And you know, the only way to figure it out is, you know, you got to do a few projects. You got to try this. You got to try that. And then over time, you just learn from experience. And that's I don't think there's anything new going on there. It's been going on for years. The more complex the technology gets. And you know, the only difference with us is that you know, like I said earlier, we're not trying to do a whole box full of tools. We want to concentrate on image-based layers. We want to go beyond that to be able to do processing of image data on the fly, on demand. So, you know, we don't have to worry about providing this huge API to our customers. It's fairly limited.
So if our listeners want to get started finding out about your options, can they actually sign up for the beta and start hitting against that data set that's there already, or is that still a ways away?
Yes, they can. No, they can come to our site, and it's the usual. It's a very simple process of registration because, as Joshua said, we don't handle any of the billing. So you just come, register, you put your email name in there. We validate your email, but we don't need to know your credit card account. So you come in, register, and anybody can come and look at our test data set that's out there now. Come look at it if it's interesting to you. You can look at our source code example for the open layers and some source code examples that you can put on your server. And if you like that, then what you do technically is there's a big button there that says subscribe, and you subscribe via Amazon. And so you go to that split screen, go through the Amazon subscription process, and then there's some keys and tokens that get exchanged between our application, our web application, in Amazon, and that turns on your ability to create what we call map streams. And then once you have a map stream, then you can create, you know, you can use that from some other site or whatever and build your own.
Well, great. It sounds like you've got sort of things for the present, and you're already planning for the future, and are just waiting for the developers to come in and bang on your spatial cloud.
We hope so.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to A Hallway Conversation with Mark Korver, CTO, and Joshua McNary, Marketing Manager at Spatial Cloud. If you have questions or comments about today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment at Directions Magazine or All Points Blog. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.